Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
It's great to be with you all this evening and really excited about what God is doing. Excited about next week's event, The Return. Excited about beginning the 40 days of prayer next week, Friday. Excited about that. I'm excited about what God's going to do tonight. Amen. So last week we started a subject on the gifts of the Spirit, and I said what I would do over the next few weeks is continue to speak on the subject. You know, one thing I've come to realize about studying the Word is every time we preach a message, we give you a part. We can never give you everything because we're still learning, and God is still revealing more and more all the time. There's nothing new under the sun, but God reveals as He desires. That's why the Bible says knowledge will increase in the latter days, in the last days, because He'll reveal more. He'll give us more revelation. So every time we take a subject, even if we've discussed it many years ago or many other times, you'll find that every time we bring it out again, there's going to be more. There's going to be more for us. But at the same time, don't think that now we've got it. We understand it. Because there's much more that God will reveal as time goes by. And so He's busy revealing Himself to us more and more and more. And I know that it was one of the greatest desires of Paul the Apostle when he spoke to the churches. He had a desire that they would come to the knowledge of who God really is. Because once you begin to understand who God is, once you begin to grasp just how wonderful and awesome He is, His goodness and His mercy, His nature and His character, that's when you will begin to understand that you serve the most awesome God. You serve the most loving God. You serve the most perfect God. And so that's why, you know, He desired so desperately, because we have a perception sometimes. And the more I go on in ministry, the more I realize that perspective is everything. So our perspective can be so different. Sometimes I listen to a story of someone and sometimes I listen to the story of the other person that's in the middle of the crisis or whatever it is, and it, you could swear it's like two completely different stories. So perspective is often everything. And so we need to take a look this evening as we dive in a little more. I finished off with the scripture. I want to pick it up from there. Tonight I'm going to go into some of the gifts. We won't finish tonight because I'm going to leave a portion specifically for one night only, which is going to be tongues, interpretation of tongues, and tongues of prophecy. And the reason why I want to do that is I'm going to spend a lot of time that night discussing with you what tongues is when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit or the manifestations of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, manifestations of the Spirit. Remember, I taught you last week that there are many types of gifts that God will give you. But when it comes to this particular gift set that's spoken of 1 Corinthians 12, he addresses these gifts as manifestations. So it's actually a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. So it's God actually revealing Himself through a person, which is just crazy awesome, isn't it? To think that God would use you and I, who are terrible, to manifest Himself. That's why it's sudden, and that's why it's as He wills. Because it has very little to do with us. Okay. So 2 Timothy 1 verse number 6. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. And this scripture is so powerful because the word stir up in the Greek actually means rekindle. It means to rekindle, stir up the gift of God. So God will put a gift inside you. It may be different kinds of gifts, but the gifts of the Spirit are also included in that. Many people, when they begin their journey, especially when they discover the things of the Spirit for the first time, they're very excited about it, very passionate about it. But as time begins to go on, that little flame loses its brightness. It goes a little weaker and weaker and weaker, and then poof, there's just smoke, you know. And so we don't want that. And Paul is telling Timothy, listen, you need to stir up that gift. You need to rekindle it. What was given to you, the gifts that the Holy Spirit's given to you, the gifts that have been given to you through the laying on of hands, you need to stir them up. You need to rekindle them. They need to come alive again. Amen. So this is what he says. But let's just dive right into it this evening because there's a lot to get through. 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 4. Now remember, God will give you many different types of gifts. But there is a difference between these gifts and any other gift. And the reason why is because God can give you a gift. The word gift, the root word of the word gift is charis, which is grace. And so every gift that you get really is a form of God's grace towards you, and ultimately not towards you only, but towards others, and ultimately to give Him glory. And so never forget that. Everything you have, your abilities, your strengths, your gifts, your talents, whatever it is that you have, it's been given to you so that you can be awesome. No. It's been given to you to bring Him glory. Those gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so wonderful because it's one of the ways that God will reveal Himself to you. When you begin to understand that it's a gift that comes from God where He manifests Himself, that's why it's the manifestations of the Spirit. He actually manifests Himself in ways of healing, miracles, tongues and interpretation of tongues, prophecy, different types of miracles. It's amazing. It's beautiful. But let's have a look. So 1 Corinthians 12, verse number 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now look, he's saying there's many gifts, there's different activities, there's different things that go on in your life and in ministry. Now he goes on to this different gift set, which is what we're talking about, which is the gifts of the Spirit. Now he calls those gifts manifestations, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we understand that he's giving you these gifts so that all of us can benefit. The gifts are not given to you for you so that you can be the man with the power for the hour. It's given so that people can benefit. And I'll show you tonight just how powerful that really is, because you'll get to see when a gift is used in the life of one of the apostles or in the life of Jesus, the outcome is always so powerful. So whenever we look at any manifestation, we always look for something. What do we look for? We look for fruit. You want to see fruit. So when you see a lot of stuff happening and there's no fruit, you may ask a question. But when you see fruit, then you know that God is busy moving. And I'll show that to you. I'm so glad you're all so excited. It's wonderful. Amen. All right. So now he begins to break down what these gifts are. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. If you study the language and the way that it's written, the correct way to actually say that would be given a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge, not the word. It's actually written incorrectly in the New King James. And ultimately, that the correct way to write it would be like that, because it is a fragment. It's only a part. We'll get to that. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. And now here's the summary. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. So He will give these gifts to each individual. Everybody say, that's me. I want you to know the gifts of the Spirit. Now, we're not talking about your singing talents, your great golfing skills, your abilities to do things, even teaching and prophesy and certain types of prophecy. That's a whole different thing we'll talk about there, but there's certain gift sets. We're not talking about that now. For example, I spoke to you last week about the offices or the ministry gifts, pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, and we're going to do something tonight that I think will excite you. But we're not talking about that, because that is a different kind of thing that God is doing. This is the Holy Spirit that's given to each and every one of us to manifest God to somebody. And He gives it to each one as He wills. In other words, if there's a need and He wants to move and show Himself, He will. He will do it, and He will do it through everyone. I have no idea what that was. Let's just continue. Amen. All right. Remember, the word manifestation in the Greek means to announce, to reveal, to make known. To reveal who? To reveal Him. To make known who He is. That's why it's so powerful. I just love it. So let's take a look at a few of the gifts. The first thing I want to talk about is, we're going to talk about a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. These are two gifts. We're going to look at a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, discerning of spirits first. Those are the gifts we'll take a look at first. A word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. The truth is, they are so close, but yet they do different things. A word of knowledge kind of gives you effect more. So knowledge gives you effect, where wisdom gives you the solution. So you'll often see when one is used, the other one automatically comes out. And when we look at gifts this evening, you will see how many times one gift will manifest and then another one will manifest. But wisdom and knowledge often go hand in hand. You must understand that wisdom is something that you should desire. Wisdom is something that we should all want. In fact, James 1 verse number 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen. So if you want wisdom, God will give you wisdom. But this is not what we're talking about when we talk about the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit is a supernatural wisdom. It comes by the Spirit, because the Bible says the Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. He knows everything about you. He knows everything that's coming. And so a word of wisdom is something that will reveal God's intentions, His plans, what He wants to do in your life. So let's take a look at an example. Is that okay? Let's go to Luke 5, verse number 4. Luke 5, verse number 4. This is such a great example of one. And this is with Jesus. Who better to teach us, right? Luke 5, verse number 4. Jesus is with the disciples before they became disciples. And something is about to happen that's so beautiful. And verse number 4 says, and when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, who later became Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. I want you to see right there, that right there in that moment, he is revealing something to us. Are you with me? He is sharing with us about something that he already knows about. Something's about to happen. He has a supernatural wisdom that if they go with their boats to that place, the fish will be there. Are you with me? So Jesus is speaking by a word of wisdom that if you go there with your boat and you let your nets out, you're going to get a catch. Wisdom, a word of wisdom works like that. When you give a word to someone and it's a word of wisdom, you will oftentimes not even know in the natural that it's going to happen, but by the Spirit you know. And so that's when you give that word. Now let's take a look at what happens. Verse number 6, and when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish. How many of you can say it worked? And their net was breaking. So they signaled to their parents in the other boat, to their partners in the other boat, to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, now watch, he has the fruit of the word of wisdom. And so it says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Look at that. Immediately we see he recognizes that this is not normal. He recognizes that this is supernatural. A gift of the Spirit is supernatural. And the response will be one where someone will repent, where someone will desire to change. There will be a supernatural act that will cause fruit to be born. And you can see it right here. Isn't that awesome, guys? I don't know if you've, has anybody here seen The Chosen? If you've seen The Chosen, that scene where Peter falls down on his knees in front of Jesus and quotes that line, It's just so powerful. You know, it's just so powerful. But that's how a word of wisdom works. He knew what was about to take place. He knew that they could launch out there and that that was going to happen. And it's just so awesome. So we can see that when a word of wisdom is released, there's always going to be something that takes place. Now remember, wisdom is when there's a solution. It gives the solution. A word of knowledge is obviously supernatural knowledge. When someone has a supernatural knowledge about someone, about something, this gift works so brilliantly with unbelievers. When you minister to an unbeliever and you ask God, Lord, give me the gift of a word of knowledge, because you'll tell them something that they prayed in their shower. You'll tell them something that they did yesterday. You'll tell them something that just happened. You'll tell them something they just asked the Lord. That's a word of knowledge. Now watch this. Let's go to John 1 verse number 47. John 1 verse number 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said to him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. Now most of you will miss this, but it's very powerful what he's just said about Nathanael, and there's a reason why. Because he calls him an Israelite, and then he says, indeed, in whom there is no deceit. Who is the father of the Israelites? Who was Israel? Jacob, right? What was Jacob's name before it was changed? Or what was Israel's name before it was changed? It was Jacob. And what was he? He was a supplanter. He was a deceiver. So when Jesus speaks to him, he says, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit. So powerful. So powerful. And then Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Look at the fruit that comes from the word of knowledge. Because he knows that there's no way that anyone else can know his heart. There's no way anyone else can know what he was doing under that tree. We don't know what he was saying, what he was praying, the conversation that he had between him and the Father. For all we know, he could have been saying, Lord, let there be no deceit in my heart. Do you understand? That's how it works. And then he's with Jesus, and then Jesus quotes that. And it's just so powerful that when there is the response that comes from Nathanael is, you are definitely the Messiah. I mean, that's amazing. The point I'm trying to make is that many people will read that and go, oh, well, you know, that's not really such a big deal. But Jesus said exactly what he needed to say to touch the heart of Nathanael. That's how a word of knowledge works. Is that okay, guys? We all know the story of the woman at the well. Jesus is with the woman at the well. In John 4, verse 15, and the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. Jesus says, I'm going to give you water that you won't be thirsty again, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go call your husband. Watch this. He has the word of knowledge. Go call your husbands and come here. And the woman answered and said, I have no husbands. And here it comes. And Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husbands. For you've had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, and that you have spoken truly. And the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Look immediately at the response. Immediately she knows this guy ain't normal. There's no way he knew that. Now he doesn't, you must understand, she perceives he's a prophet because only prophets can do that kind of thing back in the day. But you must understand that Jesus is operating by a word of knowledge. Now we must grasp something. When we see Jesus operate, specifically Jesus, I mean, it was like the Holy Spirit at will. Remember, the Spirit came upon him and the full measure, so he could operate like with the gifts like interchangeably. You know, I mean, it must have been so awesome. You know, he could just go for it. And so he had the fullness, so he could just, you know, move that way and go between whatever gifts were available. But actually, you must understand that when we get a gift, that's why it's a part. That's why it's a word. That's why it's only a little piece of it. Because Jesus walked in the fullness, we don't. But we can tap into it. listen, if God's going to send his son to the cross to die for you, I think he'll give a gift to someone to help you. Does it, I mean, it just makes sense, right? And so the result of this event was one that shook an entire city. This woman ends up leaving her water pots behind, leaves this. Now, if you understand, in those days, she was there at the hottest part of the day. She was there because it was a time of the day when no one wanted to be there, because she was embarrassed of the way that she lived her life. She was not even living with her husband. She was living in sin. And now she has this encounter with Jesus. It starts really with this word of knowledge. And then her heart begins to open up. And then he begins to reveal even more to her. And then her life is so impacted and changed that she runs into the city and she says, I met a man who told me everything about my life. And then they say, listen, we want to go meet him for ourselves. And he ministers to them. And the truth is that he actually reveals to them that he's the Messiah. And then if you study scripture, when the message leaves Judea, it goes to Samaria first. It's so powerful. Like, God just doesn't leave out any details. So that's how a word of knowledge works. So powerful. And has the potential to affect someone's life supernaturally. And it's just so awesome. Amen. Another great example, and I'm not going to go into this, but the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Peter's with them and they come in and they want to give money and they lie. And he has a word of knowledge that they're lying. And it didn't work out too good for them because they died. Okay? And it's interesting because he dies first, she comes in and lies again, and she also dies. They were having church. Imagine that. You will follow the footsteps of your husband. They will carry you out of here. They come back from laying one dead person out. They come back, there's another one lying in the front of the church. All right. We would definitely make CNN after that one. The next gift I want to talk about is the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits. Remember, I've taught you, discerning of spirits does not mean gift of discernment. You can discern lots of different things. Discerning of spirit simply means what it says. You can discern what kind of spirit is operating. And there are many different types of spirits that can operate. Obviously, the first type, which is the one we love the most, is the Holy Spirit. So we can discern on someone's life or when something's happening, whether it's the Holy Spirit that's working or not. If it's not the Holy Spirit, who could it be? If it's not the Holy Spirit, there could be another kind of spirit in the room, in this place. It could be an angel, a holy angel. Those are the good ones. We like those ones. We'll keep them. Okay? We also get fallen angels, and we also get demons. Some people believe angels, fallen angels and demons are the same thing. I think they're very connected. I don't think they're the same thing. We're not going to get into that tonight. Okay? But there are definitely fallen angels and there are definitely demons. So that's another kind of spirit that you have to discern. There's also a human spirit. Every human being has a spirit. And unfortunately, witchcraft, when it comes to witchcraft, they teach you how to operate with your spirit. But Christians don't know how to do that. Witchcraft, they even know how to leave their body with their spirit. Now, we shouldn't do that because that's kind of going against the rules. But all I'm trying to say is, why is it that the enemy can do stuff and we just don't want to tap into what God has for us? When I've done deliverance before, you'll be doing deliverance and there's an evil spirit in the person and you're busy, you know, dealing with the spirit. And sometimes there's a human spirit that's acting. And you have to be able to discern whether this is now the person or if this is now the demon. And so, you know, that's why the discerning of spirits is so important. Let's give you an example from Scripture. Mark 9, verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and he saw him. Immediately the spirit convulsed him and fell to the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. And in verse 22 it says, And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, now watch, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Jesus identifies the spirit that's operating. That's discerning of spirits. That's when you know. Sometimes when you're doing deliverance, you need to get to the root. Sometimes when you're doing deliverance and you're praying for someone that is possessed or oppressed by a demon spirit, in order to deal with it, they try and hide. And what you need to do is, by the discerning of spirits, identify what it is that's operating. And so you'll say, you spirit of rejection, or you spirit of witchcraft, or whatever it is, come out in Jesus' name. And then when you've hit them, when you've hit it, there's a major showdown. That's awesome. Amen. This is the normal church stuff, guys. Come on. Talking about deliverance, you know, it's part of church. Again, have a look at the result of the gift being used. Somebody gets set free. So God will give you the discerning of spirits to protect you sometimes. But when we're talking about it in this context, it's generally to actually help somebody, to help them become free. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. He came to set the captive free. And so he'll give you a gift so that you can operate in that space. Another great example is Acts 16:16. Acts 16:16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us. I want you to stop there and just take a look. He's giving an account of the story, and he's telling us that he knows what the spirit was. Do you see it? He's telling you the story, and he wants you to know that they knew what was going on there. They identified it. What was it? It was a spirit of divination. What is that? I'm so glad you're asking. Fortune telling. Don't go to those fortune tellers. When you go to a fortune teller, you open yourself up to a spirit of divination. What does that mean? An imitation of the divine. God's voice, Satan's voice. Those are the only two spiritual forces operating. So when you go to a fortune teller, you are going to open yourself up to that realm. And so they'll speak all kinds of rubbish over you. A familiar spirit will operate. I don't want to get into all of this tonight too much, but let me just say this. There are many kinds of demon spirits. One of them is a familiar spirit. A familiar spirit, it basically is what it says. It's familiar. It knows things. So you go to a fortune teller. The fortune teller will tell you a little bit about yourself. And you'll kind of open yourself up to it. And then the spirit will speak. I have seen in people's lives that have opened themselves up to this, have not dealt with it. And what was said by the fortune teller came to pass. Why? Because they gave that spirit, that thing, authority in their lives. If you've ever done that, don't worry, we'll sort it out tonight. Amen? Why wait for next week? Let's do it tonight. Now look, it actually tells us that a certain slave girl, verse number 16, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, who brought her masters much profit by doing what? There we go. This girl followed Paul and I and cried out, saying, watch what she says. This is amazing. These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. Sounds like a good word. Was she right? Yes, she was right. But she was operating by divination. And so Paul eventually gets really irritated with her. And this she did for many days, but Paul greatly annoyed. It's funny because one of you actually said, Paul never got annoyed. It's okay. But Paul greatly annoyed turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour, discerning of spirits. And they knew what kind of spirit it was because the Bible tells us that they knew. How did they know? Discerning of spirits. That's why you'll have that gift operate. When you're ministering to people and you're praying for them, whether it be one-on-one or for multiple people, for someone at your workplace, you'll be praying for them and suddenly God will show you something. He'll show you something that's maybe, you know, affecting that person's life. If God shows you depression, for example, if God shows you this person is suffering from depression, I want you to know you've just had discerning of spirits, because depression generally is a spirit. I'm not saying you are demon possessed by a spirit of depression, but I want you to know that the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus comes to give life. So when something's there to hurt you or to harm you or to break you down, recognize where it comes from. And so you can pray for that situation or help that person. Now, let's move on. It's already, let's just go. The gift of faith. Now, faith, the gift of faith is not an ordinary faith. We all have saving faith. We all have a measure of faith. But this particular gift, the gift of faith, will operate. It will come to you and will always be in line with something else. For example, faith and word, you know, speaking and faith is often linked together. So you will find that someone will often speak with faith. When they have the gift of faith, they all of a sudden they'll speak a word, and when they speak that word comes to pass. I mean, it just comes to pass. And so that will often be the result of faith. But faith will also kick in, and you'll pray for someone, and they'll get healed. Or faith will kick in, and then you'll go and pray for someone, and like you just know, like we'll be in a service like tonight, and the worship is going, and everything's going really great. The presence of God begins to fill the room, and suddenly I'm supposed to be preaching, but suddenly the gift of faith kicks in, then we just begin to minister, because we know God's here, and He wants to move. So that gift of faith can kick in anybody's life at any time as the Holy Spirit wills. Let's take a look at one example. Let's move off Jesus for just a moment and go to Peter. Acts 9 verse 39. Acts 9 verse 39. Is this making it easy to understand? I'm kind of like just trying to keep it simple. Is that okay? Acts 9 39. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him to the upper room. It's amazing how all kinds of awesome things happen in upper rooms. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and the garments of Dorcas, which Dorcas had made while she was with him. But Peter put them all out. Why? Because they had no faith and they were affecting the atmosphere. So he put them all out. He knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, watch, here comes that word of faith. Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Now, this is so powerful because I want you to understand that, you know, you don't just walk into some dead person's room, go down on your knees, and then say, listen, get up and walk. Something's happened. Something happened to Peter. He went from being in the natural to being in the spirit, and you can tell that gift of faith had kicked in, because when faith was not in the room, he kicked it out. He was full of faith. He knew God must have already said to him, listen, when you go into that room, I want you to speak a word. I want you to speak to her and tell her that she's going to get up and walk because I'm going to do it. So he walked in the room and they're busy mourning, and you can't blame them. It's normal. They're busy mourning and they're crying and they're showing him the robes that she made and all this stuff. And he says, listen, ladies, thank you so much. We love you so much. And thank you for the robes and thank you for dinner that's being prepared. But please go outside because you're messing with my mojo. Go outside. So they go outside the room, and then he can do what he was sent there to do. If you study these guys, you'll see how God speaks to them. God speaks to Peter like this often. When God sent Peter to Cornelius's house, he had to give him 3 visions. God only has to talk to me once. That's not true. That's not true at all, actually. The point I'm trying to make is it must have been something like that that happened to him, that he knew God had already prepared him. It's the most amazing thing. I remember in one of the services in the old church, there was a lady at the back of the church. I was busy speaking, and while I'm speaking, I go up to her and I start prophesying over her. While I'm prophesying over her, the gift of faith kicks in, and instantly I spoke healing over her body. Instantly. I didn't have a clue what she had, but I knew that she was going to get healed. So I just said to her, and that thing in your body, God's going to heal it right now. And she got healed, like instantly healed. It was so awesome. I didn't expect it at all. It was wonderful. Okay? But what I can tell you is that leading up to that moment, when I was standing there and praying for her, I knew that she was going to get healed. Now you can say, yes, well, isn't that miracles or isn't that healing? Yes, but faith was there first. Because I wouldn't have said that if I didn't have that gift of faith operating in that moment. It's the same as Peter. He's not going to say, Dorcas, get up and walk. If he doesn't have that gift of faith operating, the miracle took place afterwards. That's why I say the gifts will work hand in hand. So you see how suddenly that faith operates, then another gift kicks in, which is miracles or healings, whichever the Lord desires to use. And then you see something powerful happen. And of course, when someone was dead and they're alive, I think that's a little bit of fruit. Now, let's talk about healings and miracles this evening. Now, I know this is kind of like more teaching, which is not really generally what we do on these evenings. But trust me, God's going to do something very powerful tonight. So God will do miracles and healings, gifts of healings, plural, and working of miracles, 2 different gifts, but again, very similar in some ways. I think healings is something that you'll see that can happen, and generally it can happen quickly, and generally it can happen over time. Well, both can really happen. Miracle is something that's very spontaneous, and generally really like supernatural, just suddenly God does a miracle. And so one of the things that are definitely miracles is deliverance, because deliverance is a supernatural sign. It's the finger of God. It's very powerful. Okay? The gift of healings. Now we can see God can do healings in an instant situation, like in Mark 7:32. Let's take a look at that real quick. Mark 7:32. Sometimes, guys, it's difficult to say whether this is healing or a miracle. We know that it's supernatural, and we know that it's one of the two. Now, this looks more like a healing, but let's just take a look. Mark 7:32. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spat and touched his face. Man. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, that word, that is, be opened. And immediately his eyes were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed and he spoke plainly. Now we see their healing take place pretty instantly. Let's go to Mark 8:22. I practiced that word, but I knew that was going to happen. See? No gift of faith there, that's for sure. All right. Mark 8:22. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him. Now this is to Jesus, guys, remember this. And begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spat on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. In other words, the miracle wasn't complete. The healing had not been complete. The guy could see partly. He says, I can see men like trees. In other words, my vision hasn't completely been healed. Sometimes when someone gets prayed for a healing, they like feel a little bit better, but they think, oh no, I'm not completely healed. Listen, God might still be busy healing you. And if you feel a little bit better, say to the preacher or your friend or your cousin or whoever it is that's praying for you, pray again. God's busy healing me. Pray again. Why? Because Jesus did that. Jesus prayed again. Then in verse 25, it says, then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. So healings can be over time. Many, many times I've seen God touch somebody and they don't feel better tonight, and tomorrow morning they wake up and the pain is gone. So healing doesn't always take place instantaneously. Healing can sometimes take some time. Okay, obviously we can talk about, you know, healing the mind and all that kind of thing as well, but we're just going to stick more to the supernatural healings this evening. All right, the next gift I want to talk to you about is miracles. And this is a good one. I like this one, right? The Bible speaks of working of miracles. And the word miracles in the Greek is the word dunamis or dynamis. So actually what it is it's the working of power. It's the working of power. Working of what power? God's power. And so when you see a miracle, it's God's power being released. That's why you'll see in Scripture, it'll say something like this. And there was power present to heal them all. That's miracles being released. Because there was dunamis, explosive, heavenly, godly power that is released to suddenly do healings, to do miracles, to give breakthroughs. And miracles can be in any form, not only physical, they can be in many, many forms. As I said earlier on, without any question, one of the greatest forms of miracles that we see in the church today is casting out of demons. I mean, that is a supernatural miracle. When someone gets set free. A lot of people get very uncomfortable with that, but it's one of the most powerful things. Matthew 13:54 says this. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Mighty works is dunamis, miracles. How is it that Jesus was able to do these miracles? That's why one of the gifts of the Spirit is the working of miracles. When you work a miracle, when you're busy praying for someone, you're going to have to step out. You're going to have to pray and believe that God is going to do something supernatural. When I'm praying for someone and they're going to be, and I know there's a demon present, I can have, you know, then the discerning of spirits will kick in and then I'll begin to do deliverance. I know that it's working because the demon will normally respond. Like this. Come out of her. No. But they don't say it like that. I'm being nice. Okay? I don't want to come out. And then you just say, okay, you spirit of unforgiveness, come out. Ah, and then I leave. That's what we want, right? Okay? We should leave now. Let's take a look at one miracle, and then we're going to pray. Acts 20, verse number 7 says this. Watch how it's sudden, watch how it's quick, and it's powerful. Now, on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. Now, I just want to tell you, so Paul's talking and he's falling asleep. I hope this is a lesson to those of you that fall asleep. He was overcome by sleep. And as Paul continued speaking, he fell down, listen to this, from the third story and was taken up dead. In other words, he died. Don't fall asleep in church. I'm not nice like Paul. I will not raise you from the dead. I will leave you. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embraced him, and said, "Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him." In other words, he had just performed a miracle. This young man fell asleep, and God had serious mercy on him, because it was while Paul was preaching, and raised him from the dead. And it's just so powerful. That's a miracle. Now listen, guys, we're not going to get into why God doesn't heal, why he doesn't do miracles, why this and why that. What we need to understand is that this is for us. Next week, I'm going to leave those other gifts, the vocal gifts. I'm going to leave them because we really need to dive into that. I have to show you why there's a major separation between tongues for you and tongues in a service. And explain it to you very carefully. We've already been spoken about tongues for you. We're not going to talk much about that. But I want to show you in Scripture why he speaks about tongues. Because some people are like, well, doesn't it say that, you know, not all speak in tongues? Yes, it does. But let me put it into the context so you can understand it properly. Now, the gifts of the Spirit are for you. For you to be used so that God can give them to you, but also for you to minister to other people. You know, so that, man, there's nothing more powerful. I've been to conferences with some random lady at this conference. I'll never forget this. It was a safe environment, so it wasn't like some crazy out of order place. It was very, very organized, very orderly. But the lady that I didn't know was at the conference, and she came up to me and she gave me a word that totally changed my life. She said like four words to me. I'll never forget it. And she was operating by a word of knowledge, because I'd literally asked God that question. Naomi has this incredible ability. Whenever we go anywhere, she asks the Lord something and someone will come and answer her question every time. Makes me so jealous. So I've decided my new strategy will be whenever we go to a conference to ask her to ask the questions that I need answered. Okay? All right, now, where is Brian Thomas? Come here, young man, and you can bring your wife with you. I want all my pastors on the stage, please. On the stage, please. Just grab this bottle of oil. Okay. Last week I spoke to you about ministry gifts. And so tonight I'm going to pray for you. And tonight I'm not giving you a gift. Tonight you will become a gift. Okay? But you already knew this was coming. At least you felt it. But it's time. The time is now. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this couple. I thank you for the destiny and for the purpose on their lives. I thank you for their faithfulness. Father, you said in your word in Ephesians that he himself appointed some to be pastors and prophets and teachers and evangelists. Father, did you not say the fivefold ministry would be set up to equip the body of Christ to do the work of the ministry? And this evening in this place, Father, as you have instructed me, Father, I release to them tonight the gift of the evangelist. For from this night forth, you will be an evangelist. The grace that comes from the gift will be imparted into you tonight. From this night, your ministry is birthed. Your ministry begins tonight, and grace will follow you, son. And do not look at your past. Do not look at times gone by, and do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not look at their faces. Do not listen to the words that they speak. Keep your eyes focused on me, for I will direct your steps. For the path has already been prepared for you. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, tonight, I ordain them as evangelists in this place. Father, I release this to them. From this night, you will no longer minister with gifts only, but you will become a gift. The gift of the evangelist is released to you, Brian, tonight in this place. And you and your wife will go forth with anointing and with power. And from this night, miracles and healings will flow through you like never before. Like never before, you've desired greatly. Now, even when you minister on the streets, for your ministry will not only be on the streets, it will also be from the pulpit. You will speak from the pulpit, you will speak from the platform, you will speak, and tonight the prophetic will begin to rise in you as well. You've desired it, but God says that you will move in signs and wonders and miracles. They will follow your ministry. They will be the sign of your ministry. For the desire that you have inside of you is for the lost, son. I've given you a desire. I've given you a passion for the lost. And from this night, it will be birthed out of this place, and grace will follow you. Grace will follow. Yes, you will be in this house. You will stay in this house. But your ministry is birthed tonight. You will begin. You will begin to move out. You will begin to speak. You will begin to go out. And God says, from this night, everything the enemy has desired to bring against you. I see, even very recently, there was a lot of turmoil that came, but God says you made it through it. And from this night, you will step forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Put your hands on them. Every one of you, put your hands on them now. In Jesus' mighty name, I release this to you. Now, in Jesus' name, let the fire of God go through them now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Come on, let's give the Lord another clap and shout. Come on. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. We give you thanks and we give you praise, Lord. We give you thanks, Lord. Amen. You can take your seats. Brian, that was not a prophecy, hey? That's what you are now. Okay? There was some prophecy in there, but, you know. Okay. Amen. Amen, Brian. Good going. Amen. So we're talking about gifts, and God spoke to me about doing that. Amen. You know, when God is in control, nobody can stop it. And so it's really awesome. And it's wonderful to see people in the house begin to step into their destiny. And I'm really excited about their ministry and what God will do through them and through all of you. Amen. It's amazing how the atmosphere changes, right? Amen. So that is what I'm going to do tonight. Just lift your hands for me, if you can. Father, in this room, your people are here, Lord. And in the mighty name of Jesus, according to your word, Father, as you will, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will release gifts to them tonight in this place. Faith and working of miracles and healings, discerning of spirits and prophecy, words of wisdom and knowledge. Father, all the gifts of the Spirit as you desire, release them in your people, Father, so they can impact Vero Beach and they can impact this nation, Father. And Lord, at the end of the day, we will always give you all of the glory and all of the honor and all of the praise, for it's all for you and because of you. And so we give our lives to you, Father. Let our lives, Father, be a drink offering. Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that you will raise them up in this place, Lord, to be all that they are called to be, Lord. In this night, in this place, I pray against any spirit that desires to bring fear, any spirit that desires to say to you that you're not good enough. I come against it right now in Jesus' name and break Satan's power. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you release, Holy Spirit, as you desire. For your word says it's as you will. I ask, Lord, that you would do it in this night. We are here. We are full of faith, Lord. We believe what your word says is true. And in the mighty name of Jesus, fill your people right now with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' mighty name. I also prophesy tonight from this platform. I prophesy tonight that there will be prophets. There will be evangelists and pastors and teachers and apostles that will come out of this place. They will rise out of this place and they will go forth. And this will be a ministry that will birth fivefold ministry. It will be a ministry that will birth all the gifts, all the ministry gifts. And we will go into the city, we will go into the state, into this nation, and even into the nations of this world. And I give you thanks and I give you praise. And I declare it this evening from this platform. And I honor you, Lord. And we know, Father, that it is not by might nor by power, but it is by your Spirit. And so we glorify your name tonight in this place. And we give you thanks right now in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap and a shout. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. And so, Father, I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit be with each and every person. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.